Time to bring in Arthur Schwartz. It's Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We'll be broadcasting over the course of the weekend and at various times. You can always find him at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, and it is really summer.
Yep.
Officially and feeling like it. I don't know what it is up there, but here it's already oppressively humid.
Yes, it's feeling like summer here, too.
Yeah, so, you know, what's on my mind? Summer food, and I already started with that a couple weeks ago, like I'll get to in a second. But you know what? In the real summer, I'm doing this now, because during, you know, like late July and August, I don't even want to think about food. You know, I start thinking about drink more then. Anyway, but do keep hydrated in this weather, even though it's humid. So I have these two fruits that I'm, you know, keto diet, this low-carb, super-duper low-carbohydrate diet, does indeed allow you fruit. People think if you're on keto, you'll never eat fruit and vegetables again. Not true. I eat a lot of vegetables, and I eat some fruit, some even with abandon, like strawberries and raspberries. You can pretty much eat your fill. That doesn't amount to that much in the end, I find. But anyway, you know, I'm buying incredible, incredible strawberries the size of a plum from California. You know they're going to be good when you get the fragrance through the plastic box. Of course, it has holes in it, but still. Anyway, back to the real summer fruit. Because strawberries, to me, are, you know, now, late spring, but they're not going to last this great, and cheap, by the way, for long. But white nectarines, I've just started, and also regular nectarines. But I'm finding the white nectarines are sweeter than even yellow nectarines, which are already sweet, or sweeter than, I would say, the normal peach. But anyway, and there's a reason. White nectarines, as well as white peaches, are less acidic than their yellow counterparts, which, even if the sugar is the same, is going to make them taste sweeter because they don't have that balancing acidity. Sometimes you want that balancing acidity. You don't want them to be tart. I don't want a tart peach or a tart nectarine. But I must say I have more luck with white nectarines and white peaches than I do with the yellow counterparts. And I was taught this years ago by a friend who always had great fruit at his house. He said, oh, when you go to pick the white ones, he wasn't going to vouch for this method for the yellow ones, but the white ones, make sure that the stem end is fully colored, not yellow or green, heaven forbid. So I do that. Whether that is why I'm always getting such wonderful nectarines, I don't know. I guess maybe next time I go shopping, I should try getting one that's a green in the middle and see if it really is a key to getting a sweet nectarine. But it works for me anyway. So those, I don't want to do anything with those white nectarines or white peaches if they're good, because they're just so good out of hand. And I'm not going to bake with them and in my condition, my keto condition, that would definitely get me off of keto. But there is a recipe that I probably will succumb to sometime this summer, which is something, I'm laughing to myself because we call it, around here, we call it the beach crostata, even though it should be the peach crostata. And it's a recipe that I believe, I'm looking here to see if it is, in my first cookbook, even. And the reason we called it the beach crostata is it was one summer I had a beach house with friends, and every weekend they would come and say, why don't you make that peach crostata, until we started calling it the beach crostata. Anyway, it's really a fabulous recipe. I don't think I've gone a summer without making it in 35 years, so why will today be any different? I mean, this year any different? No, it's not in my first cookbook, so it's in one of my cookbooks. In any case, you what you do with this is you make a cookie dough, you know, a shortbread kind of dough, and you you press it into a pie plate, and you bake it a little bit, and then you add halved. Well, this you have to wait for the Freestone variety peaches. Nowadays, then they're not. You could cut into with nectarines for sure. You could cut them into small wedges right off the pit and put them in the pie plate. Sprinkle with sugar. Unfortunately, this recipe calls for a lot of sugar. But it makes the peaches or nectarines give off their liquid as they bake. And then, finally, you add, when the peaches are half-baked, you pour over the top a mixture of either yogurt and egg or sour cream and egg. I think in the original recipe it might have just been heavy cream and egg. I don't remember, but I have to look it up. In any case, all of those work. And you pour that over and let it set. It's going to meld. This custardy topping will meld with the syrups that have developed in the pastry, and that's it. Sounds good. Anyway, I'm not making that, but what I am going to make and have actually made recently is I've been playing with watermelon. Now that's another. Now, by the way, white peaches are natural. They're a mutation, a natural mutation that was then cultivated. So I know that people are going GMO, non-GMO crazy, but there's nothing artificial about a white or peach or white nectarine. On the other hand, by the way, nectarine, people say, oh, nectarines themselves are above it. No, it's not true. Nectarines volunteered themselves. Actually, they didn't volunteer themselves, but somebody discovered how to cultivate these sort of fuzzless peaches is really what they are. Anyway, back to watermelon. So watermelon is just coming into season, and have you noticed it is almost impossible to buy a watermelon with seeds in it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're almost all. I mean, not almost. I haven't found one with seeds, so for me, they're all without seeds. I am waiting for the about now, maybe. I'll go take a look in a week. There are trucks that come up from the south and sell watermelons right off the truck in various neighborhoods in Brooklyn. I know one truck has been there for many years, so I'm hoping he's going to be there this year. And it's right, if anybody wants to know, it's at the on-ramp or the entrance to the what is now called the Jackie Robinson Parkway, was until 30 years ago, 25 years ago, the Interborough Parkway at Cypress Hills, which is on the Brooklyn-Queens border. And this guy stands, by the way, there's always somebody selling fruit there, usually tropical fruit. But in the summer, we get the trucks that come from the south selling other fruit and maybe some vegetables, too. So I'm wondering if he's going to have any watermelons with seeds, old-fashioned watermelons. But I just bought a 20-pound watermelon, so I'm going to make something with it today, not only eat it as it is. And by the way, I have nothing against no seeds. When we had the seeds, we found them very annoying. But my problem is, I think that the old-fashioned watermelon with seeds had more watermelon flavor than the seedless. They're not really seedless, by the way. They do have tiny, tiny, tiny white seeds that you can eat. And by the way, you can eat black watermelon seeds. Black watermelon seeds are actually, they don't taste like much. But you could roast them in the oven and eat them like nuts, and they're very high in a lot of stuff like magnesium and iron and things that you want.
As a kid, Arthur, I never spit them out. I used to eat my grandmother would go crazy. I would eat the watermelon and I'd eat the pits.
Well, you probably have great bones.
I don't know about that, but.
So yeah, no, they're actually nutritious. But you know, we all used to spit them out, and that was, of course, a kid thing to have a watermelon seed spitting contest. Who could spit further? I remember that. So, but you know, if you're cooking with watermelon, it's nice not to have the seeds. The only thing is, I find although the seedless watermelons can be very sweet. I had one the other day. My neighbor bought me this tiny, like it was the size of a small cantaloupe, but it was a watermelon. That was very sweet, but it lacked flavor, I thought. Just, it was mainly refreshing and sweet. Nothing wrong with those qualities, but anyway. So, in fact, watermelon has now that there's no seeds, and chefs don't have to bother picking out seeds from the watermelon, watermelon has become very trendy. In restaurants, you'll find, and this is a good salad. I'm not making fun of it. Watermelon cubes with crumbled feta, could have some red onion on it for my taste, and some fresh mint if you happen to have. I keep dried mint in the house, really good quality dried mint. So I would, if I don't have any fresh, I would even sprinkle some a couple pinches of dried mint on that. But watermelon and feta salad, keep that in mind. It's also very dietetic. So watermelon is very, people think you shouldn't eat it if you're trying to lose weight, but that's not true. It's filling. It's mostly water, after all. And it's relatively low in sugar compared to other fruits, even compared to a nectarine. In fact, nectarines are not super low in carbs, by the way. I think a small nectarine probably has, I'm guessing, 15, 16 carbs. In any case, watermelon, because I did buy a large watermelon a couple weeks ago, and I didn't, you know, I thought I should do something with this. So I made a watermelon, I'm going to call it watermelon sherbet. Not sorbet, sherbet. Because, you know, remember milk sherbet? I don't know what's become of that product. I guess in the supermarket they still sell milk sherbet, which was a fruit puree with a dairy product mixed in. So that's what I did. I pureed the watermelon. And by the way, if you're using seedless watermelon, this is a snap to do. You just cube it up and put it in the blender. I would say, 2 blenders full, which would be like 8 cups of cubed watermelon. I used maybe a quarter of a cup, third of a cup of heavy cream, and I blended that in with the watermelon, put it in a freezer tray. Actually, I didn't put it in a freezer tray. I put it in a bowl, a shallow bowl, but a bowl. Put that in the freezer, and I put it in a bowl instead, or anything you want to put it in, you can put it in. It just depends on how long you're willing to wait for it to freeze. I waited until it was frozen solid, and then we ate it, scraping it off. You take a spoon and scrape off your sort of watermelon snow, I'll call it. It's really delicious. No sweetener necessary if it's a good watermelon, and most of them are sweet at least. And if you don't do it with any dairy product, let's just call it granita. Granita di melone. Melone. Watermelon is a big deal in Sicily. And granita is also a big deal in Sicily. And I guarantee you, there are many, many gelato stands and even bars that sell granita di melone. Anyway, but the real big deal melon thing in Sicily is gelo di melone. Gelo is pudding in this case. It is not gelatin in this case. It means pudding. And watermelon pudding is eaten for its own sake, as well as put into pastries and tarts and anything that it will hold a pudding. You could have a watermelon, like, you know, watermelon cream pie. Isn't that good?
That sounds good.
But here, this is usually when you make watermelon pudding, you make fake watermelon seeds with chocolate chips, and if you want, you could even put in pistachios in a watermelon pudding. And so it's not just the pudding itself, and it is pudding made with cornstarch. So here's how to make watermelon pudding. Half of a big watermelon. For me, that's about 10 pounds of watermelon. You want to cut it out off the rind. Now, I'm not making a preserved watermelon rind, but because that's like mostly sugar. even though I like it. But you could do that. So for 10 pounds of watermelon, you're going to use a cup of sugar, 1 1/4 cups of cornstarch, and then I'll get to the garnish later. That's all there is to it. So you cut the watermelon into large pieces. You put them in the food processor or blender. You can strain the pulp if you want to make it just juice. I don't mind having some pulp in there. So, and there are no seeds after all. So if you don't want to strain it, don't. And then combine the watermelon juice. You should have, I don't know, several cups of watermelon juice. Combine it cold with the cornstarch and whisk that together, and then whisk in the sugar, and now put it over heat. And as soon as it comes, keep. Now, I like to use a wooden spoon for this, not the whisk, although you can continue using your whisk to stir, because you want to get into the corners of your pot. This tends to glunk up in where the sides meet the bottom. So you want to keep rotating it as it's coming to a boil. And then once it comes to a boil, and by the way, it takes a while for this to happen, for it to thicken up and come to a boil. Let it boil without stirring for 1 minute. Take it off the heat. Even if you have a gas stove, you know, your grill, your grating retains heat for quite a while. Take it off the heat. Put it somewhere. For the moment you need to wash out a 2-quart mold. I use a ring mold, you know, like you would use for, I don't know, I have a ring mold. I have a tin ring mold. It's perfect for this. And you rinse it out with cold water. Shake out the water, but don't dry it. And then pour your hot pudding into the ring mold and refrigerate for at least overnight. You know, it's going to take 8 to 12 hours to get really firm. And to unmold it, you dampen a dish towel with hot water and place it all around your mold, and then it'll melt just enough on the outside to you can turn it onto a platter. Now, if you've used a ring mold, you can fill up the middle of the ring mold with fresh fruit salad. So this is very festive. This is great for a, you know, outside barbecue. You can do it all way ahead. Although I usually like to have my fruit salad made the same day I'm going to eat it. You can dress the fruit salad any which way you want. You could put berries in there if you want an entire... You know, this is a good 4th of July one. You could, you know, it's already a red pudding. Although, you know, it's not that red at this point. But it's a red pudding, and you put in blueberries and strawberries, and it's a 4th of July dessert.
Sounds great to me. I loved watermelon as a kid, and I was surprised. I was the only kid in our family that loved watermelon. And when I got out and got older, I found out that there's still a lot of people that don't like watermelon.
You're kidding me. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, neither did
I. A person who doesn't like watermelon.
And I hate the people that say to me, well, it's just like, you know, you're not getting anything out of it. Yeah, you're getting a great sweet taste.
That's it.
Yeah.
Also, in the summer, you want to rehydrate. It's mainly water, after all. And also, by the way, a good watermelon has lots of flavor. Even a good seedless watermelon has enough flavor to make me happy. And by the way, I do believe it has vitamin A. I could look this up, but I believe watermelon actually is anything red, I figure, has got to have vitamin A. But yeah, I mean, watermelons. And also, it's un-American to like.
That's what I figured.
Right?
I couldn't believe it when first of all, and even my kids, out of all my kids, only one of them really likes watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because, you know what?
By the way, watermelon is closely related to cucumber. So, by the way, it's not big on vitamin A, but it is very big on vitamin C. So, and it's very low in calories. What's not to like here?
I'm just figuring that what happened. Supermarkets now cut up and sell this pre-cut fruit, and that's not water. That's not watermelon. That is.
Anything pre-cut is losing its vibe.
Yeah.
To say.
Yeah.
But you know, watermelon is low in. I mean, it has nothing. That's why I like it. It's nothing. It's 90-something% water.
Yeah, I used to love going to the Concord, and I'd sit at the table, and I'd order watermelon and also other melons for dessert. And they used to come with a little round scooper, and they'd make round little scoops and build a little watermelon fort on my plate.
So anyway, so that's summer. So I did a little experiment yesterday. Speaking of summer food. I've been making red peppers now for months because, one, they're so totally allowable on my diet, above-ground vegetable, but also because I love them, and I've been getting really good ones from Mexico all along here since, I don't know, a good part of the winter even. But now they're going to come into season locally, but not for another 6 weeks probably, but I couldn't resist. So they were so cheap the other day from California, $1.99 a pound. I haven't seen that in a long time, so I had to buy a bunch of red peppers. And yesterday was too hot to stand in front of the stove for a long time. So usually, I mean, not usually, but one of the many ways I make red peppers is sautéed peppers and onions, which we eat with sausage, which I make a frittata with, which we eat just like that as a vegetable with meat or chicken. I do a lot, but I never have roasted them in strips. I mean, I roast peppers all the time, 450 degrees, if you want to know. I do them right on the rack with something underneath in case they drip. 450 degrees, well preheated oven for minimum 20 minutes. Sometimes the pepper will take a little longer, and they should be charred. In my new stove, my new oven, I've been doing them on roast, which provides heat from above as well as below, and they have been getting charred in 20 minutes. But I've never just cut them into strips, you know, seeded, deribbed, blah, blah, the way I do for frying them, and combine them with an onion and put them in a hot oven. So I did that yesterday, and it's not the same. I'll start by saying,
no, it's not the same at all.
It's not the same at all. But, they were good peppers, and it was a very good onion. So, and I tossed it with some olive oil, and I put it in a 450-degree oven. After a half an hour, the onions were tender. I didn't want them to get mushy. And the peppers were relatively tender. So I took it all out, and you know, I was happy with it all, but I was only happy with it all because I was going to make a frittata with it. And it was perfect, actually, for a frittata. I made a baked frittata with them, which is to say, again, I didn't want to stand in front of the stove, and the oven was already hot. So I combined some eggs with some cream, minta cream, and salt, pepper, like a quiche filling, except in this case I didn't have a pastry. I just put the peppers and onions already cooked in the bottom of a pan. It was a 10-inch skillet, and actually my black iron skillet, and I put the peppers on the bottom. I poured over buttered, by the way. I poured over the egg mixture, pepper, and over that I put about a cup of grated Swiss cheese, the real deal, Emmentaler, which I just learned this week. Underneath this is to prove that it's truly, we talked about Switzerland Swiss a few weeks ago. So, a man I know who lived in Switzerland for several years said, look underneath, every piece of Switzerland Swiss should have a piece of the rind on it, which actually says Switzerland, it says Emmentaler Switzerland Swiss, but all underneath that in a tiny little cartouche is CH, which is the initials for Switzerland, like email addresses and license plates. And then a number, a four-digit number. And the four-digit number is the zip code for Emmental. So unless it has the Emmental, which is the whatever it is called in Switzerland, forgetting of Emmental on the rind. It's not the real deal. So I put in about a cup and a half, and I baked it for half an hour. Was it half an hour? Maybe 25 minutes at 400 degrees. It was very good. So that's another summer food, peppers and onions. I also make peperonata. This is a summer standard around here because I make it on the weekend and it lasts, well, if I make enough, it'll hold up, I should say, for almost a week. And that's basically braised peppers. And the braising liquid is tomatoes. So I saute the pepper and onion together for a few minutes, and then I put in a can of, if it's a 28-ounce can, it depends on how many peppers and onions you're making. But I keep small cans of plum tomatoes, Italian plum tomatoes in the house, just for something like this, where I don't really want a lot of tomato. A half a 28-ounce can would be more than enough. Even just a few plum tomatoes crushed in your hand. Because sometimes I open a can of tomatoes, and then what do I do with the rest? Well, I can make a braise the next day using what's left. Soon it's going to be too hot for anything except granita.
You know, during the summertime, I make up constantly for myself peppers and onions that are roasted, and then I put a little garlic and olive oil in it, and I store it. And when I make, like, let's say, a turkey sandwich or a chicken sandwich,
ooh,
I put it on that with a little red wine vinegar.
Ooh.
Oh my God, it's like the best thing in the world.
Oh, it is. It is. You just got me going here. And, you know, it's interesting what one craves when one cannot have carbohydrates. And my main thing is bread.
Yeah.
Bread and pizza. I've allowed myself pizza. Last week, I went with Bob and our next-door neighbor, Ellen, to my favorite Italian-American place here in Brooklyn called Il Colosseo, which means the Colosseum. They're not at all Roman, though. And I had they make very good pizza there. I hadn't had I've indulged in pizza here or there, a slice here or there, or even a pizza. None of it's been any good. And I, you know, wasted carbs is the worst thing when you're not eating them. So this wasn't worth it. And then I had baked clams, which was worth, well, that was hardly off the diet, and they were really good. In fact, it's inspired me to, actually, why can't I do this myself? I don't have to go all the way to Diker Heights. Yeah, Il Colosseo is way in Diker Heights, which is what I used to call fancy Bensonhurst. But Diker Heights has become famous for itself because that's the place where they do the over-the-top Christmas decorations and lights that you can actually see from a plane as you're coming in from wherever to LaGuardia or Kennedy. And people say, oh, what's that? All those, if you come around Christmas time. In fact, it's gotten so popular that tourist buses come to see all these decorations and lights, and they've now banned parking on the streets, including those tour buses, during the season. And you have, I think there's a golf course nearby, and I think they've opened up their parking lot in the winter so that the Christmas light lookers will have a place to park, something like that. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what happened last year, you know, with pandemic. This year is going to be different. This year, everything around here is starting to open up, and I'm sure everything in Connecticut is open by now.
It's opening up. But when you talk about pizza, I used to love deep dish, but now, ever since I had Frank Pepe's pizza, I love thin crust. I just love thin crust pizza.
Well, yeah, Frank Pepe, you know, yeah. So you have a standard now.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did you ever get the habit for deep dish? That's the Chicago.
Oh, that's when I was a kid. Yeah, Pizza Hut came out with it, you know.
Pizza Hut.
I know, terrible, terrible.
Yeah, come on. Although I have to say, there's a Domino's I passed the other day. Now, we don't have chain pizza in Brooklyn because there's so many neighborhood pizzerias, but Domino's is open, and I'm tempted to order just to see what that's about. Mm. I was a consultant to Domino's at one time.
It's improved a lot over the past 5 years.
Oh, maybe I was an influence.
Maybe. All right, Arthur.
Bye.
Bye, take care.
Have a great week, everybody. Stay cool.
You too, Arthur.
Eat watermelon.
That's okay. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio and robinhoodradio.com.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.